restaurant coming or another equity round. Every day is with the lawyers to make sure that the blue sky laws are happy.
We complain when we have nothing to do.
I have a problem with this.
What's that?
These are the, all these resumes. I thought we had to buy charter.
I think that's right.
Where's the green?
You just can't work with the, that idea.
No, you have to go with, because somebody else may have changed their mind.
I'm going to open the public hearing. Can I have order, please? Thank you. We're going to start the public hearing for ordinance 2013-4, an ordinance determining restaurants to be of similar harmonious and compatible use 7 district use and granting a special use permit to Great Expectations LLC for the property located at 27100 Chagrin Boulevard. Is there anybody here who would like to speak to this matter tonight? If so, please come up to the microphone and state your name and address. All right, if there's nobody to speak to this ordinance, then we're gonna move on to the second public hearing tonight. Ordinance number 2013-6, an ordinance approving the application of Joseph A. Dubiak and Kristen P. Dubiak for the placement of land in an architectural district. Is there anybody here to speak to this ordinance during the public hearing? All right, then I'm gonna call the meeting to order for April 10th, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Braverman.
Here.
Cluder.
Yes.
Duber.
Yes.
Bonk.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Perry.
Here. We have three special accolades tonight for former council people. Our first one is resolution number 2013-2, a resolution honoring Mark Bram for his dedication and service to Orange Village. Do I have a motion?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Mr. Bram, I think you're in the audience. Welcome back. Would you like to step up here and I'll read your resolution? But before I do, would anybody like to speak about this or make changes? Okay, great. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
We made a resolution for you and I'd like to read it. Whereas Mark Bram won election to the Orange Village Council in November 1999, and whereas Mr. Bram served for 12 years on Orange Village Council, and whereas Mr. Bram was longtime chairman of the Roads Committee of Council, and whereas Mr. Bram served for 2 years as council president, and whereas in a letter to the editor in December of 2011, members Francis Cluder and Edward Bonk honored Mr. Bram with this statement. We wish Mark good health, peace, and success in his future endeavors, and only the very best for his wife Sally and his children. It takes an enormous amount of courage to be a public servant and to stand up for what you believe is in the best interest of the community you are elected to represent. And whereas this council wishes to express its gratitude to Mr. Bram for his service to Orange Village for over a decade and to wish him well for his future endeavors. Now therefore be it resolved by the Council of Orange Village, Cuyahoga County, State of Ohio, Section 1, that this council hereby expresses its sincere gratitude to Mr. Mark Bram for his public service and dedication to Orange Village, encourages all Orange Village residents to join council in thanking Mr. Bram for his service and wishing him success with his future endeavors. In Section 2, that the actions of council concerning relating the passages legislation were adopted in an open meeting, and that all deliberations, I don't have the rest of it, but it's the regular mumbo jumbo, so. Congratulations. Oh, I can read it from here.
I have it.
Of council. council's committee resulted in such formal actions were in meetings open to the public in compliance with all legal requirements, including Chapter 105 of the codified ordinances. Section 3, that this resolution shall be in force and effect from the date from and after the earliest period allowed by law. So congratulations.
Thank you all.
We will sign this and get you a copy for your, thank you very much.
Did you get a vote? You need a vote.
I'm sorry, thank you. Mary, will you call the roll?
Braverman?
Still here. Is that what you're on this?
It's the roll call.
Oh, yes, of course.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. All right, and since Mr. Dan Brown couldn't be here and Mr. Parks, I'm not going to read the whole ordinance or resolution out loud, but I'd like a motion first to adopt Resolution 2013-3, a resolution honoring Dan Brown for his dedication and service to Orange Village.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Second. Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Any questions, comments? Anything change? No? Mary, will you call the roll, please?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Next is Resolution 2013-4, a resolution honoring Mark Parks Jr. for his dedication and service to Orange Village. Do I have a motion for that resolution?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Any comments? No? Mary?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. All right, thank you all. Next is our presentation by Lieutenant Nick DeSico from regarding our new dispatch center. If you could speak in the mic, it would be best. Thank you.
All right, some exciting times here. We, as everybody knows, we were trying to negotiate with various communities where we were going to build this new dispatch center. Myself and Chief Castura were approached by University Hospitals and given a pretty significant deal that we're going to go over real quick here for about 15 minutes. As I hit these slides, if anybody has any questions, please interrupt me and I will answer as best I can. So the Dispatcher Council of Governments, everybody's aware of who's in it. You can see up here on the screen that we have one addition. I was able to negotiate a deal with Gates Mills. They will be joining our dispatch center and our Council of Governments effective August 5th. We have one more step to go through with their council, but everything looks 99.9% that it's going to happen. So it's going to significantly reduce everybody's rates involved. Some of the different changes, we're going to have a full-time dispatch manager that's going to work Monday through Friday. We will increase from one dispatcher on midnight shift to two dispatchers, which will effectively give us two dispatchers around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's going to be the new shift minimum. So we're going to have a higher level of service. Recently, about 2 months ago, they appointed me as the new dispatch administrator for the new center. So our lease outlines, it started off at a 10-year lease. We were able to negotiate last week up to a 12-year lease. It's $1 per year. Each renewal increment after that 12 years is going to be a 5-year renewal automatic. There is a 3-year minimum guarantee where we're safe at that dispatch center, so they can't touch us for 3 years. If they want to break this contract, or if we want to break this contract, we have to give them and they have to give us a 2-year notice. So we're safe at Bedford for a minimum of 5 years. We've asked the hard questions, are you closing? And they've assured us that they are not closing. We're going to be there long life members, but in the healthcare industry, they don't go anything above a 10-year lease, and obviously we got them to 12. But a long time lease, they won't entertain the idea. If they ask us to leave, they will reimburse us $155,000, which right now is the estimated build-out cost to rehab that building. That does not include any technology or any dispatch consoles. That's just making it livable for what we want. They will reimburse us that money, and it will be prorated. So if they don't ask us to leave for 10 years, that number is going to be divided by the 10-year period, and we'll have a prorated amount. We have a significant amount of room for expansion. Again, minimal rehab, and I blew up the plans over there, and you'll see a picture here. But Bedford is also going to give us free utilities. Every single utility is going to be covered by the hospital at no cost to us.
Are we going to refer to them as utilities rather than amenities?
That's up to the attorneys.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
The only thing that we do have to purchase is a generator. They have no generator for that basement, and in lieu of us purchasing a generator, they want to outfit their elevator, so they will install it and maintain it. The quotes already, as you see here, is $25,000 for the installation that the hospital will be picking up. In the event they ask us to leave, they will prorate that generator and buy us out of it. So again, we won't be out any money. And I just roughly estimated $5,000 a year, and that came from their engineers on, you know, the weekly startups, keeping it filled with fuel and doing all of their yearly checks. We do have to supply a insurance policy, as you see, is a 1 in 3 million. We already have that as our COG, so we're all set on that. This is the layout. Again, we have the entire basement, but it's going to go from here all the way over here. We have a, you know, infrastructure room, supervisor room. These will be all your locker rooms and break rooms. And the dispatch consoles will go start here and work all the way down. We have the room for expansion for up to 14 positions. So as we add new users, we have the space for it with literally no cost other than personnel. The conference room, they just rehabbed 2 years ago. It takes the entire other wing of the basement, which means we would occupy the entire basement. The conference room is open to us for use anytime we want it. We have to schedule it. Their doctors, their attorneys also use this room, again, on a scheduled basis, and we have been guaranteed in the event of an emergency, we will have priority of this room to make it an emergency operations center. These are the rough, again, build-out costs that have been done by university hospitals. The IT and hardware infrastructure has been done by me, but everything else, this is what UH is thinking it's going to cost us, and they are also guaranteeing their costs. So if there's anything above and beyond that, they are picking up the tab. So we are locked in and guaranteed at what that cost is going to be. With the utilities, amenities, these are our projected savings. Really the only number that is not a guaranteed number is this $40,000 here. When we were building a freestanding structure, the architect estimated it at $40,000 for new shingles, roof, wall paintings, new out. But we're not going to have that either way, but either way, UH is going to take care of their parking lots. So that's really, in my opinion, not a good number to evaluate, but the utilities, these are all budgeted amounts that we are paying right now on down at Sugar Falls. So there's a significant savings over the 10-year lease, and actually it's a 12-year lease, so these numbers need to be adjusted. Square footage, we no longer have a phase one or two. This is just one of the things I could not change in a short amount of time, but we're close to 4,000 square feet. And between the two conference rooms, we're all up to over 6,000 square feet that's going to be ours again at $1 a year. With moving into this dispatch center, once we sign the letter of intent, they will hire and pay for a grant writer for us. They've been very successful. They just got the Bedford Heights Group over $1 million grant last year. These are just some of our ideas what we wanted to do. We wanted to upgrade all the fire stations to a fire alerting system, purchase new MDTs for all the police and fire departments that are associated with our COG, video cameras, mobile dispatch, and EOC equipment. Again, this is going to be done at no cost to us, and it's going to benefit everybody in the COG. These are the dispatch consoles, state-of-the-art. They're roughly $15,000 a piece. A dispatcher can sit here in dispatch, or they can stand up, and this whole, these two desks will raise, so they can stand in dispatch. Everything is heat and air-conditioned per council. All the workstations are locked up in here, and again, they have their own heating and cooling systems so that heat does not dissipate into the main dispatch floor. And this is what it's going to look like. We're going to start with four positions. So you're going to see one, two, three, four when we open up, and these will be further up against the wall. But you can see how there's significant room for advancement when we take on more customers. Technology enhancements, I'll briefly hit on this. Right now, you see all the departments here. Everybody has their own email. Everybody has their own records management system. Everybody has their own MDTs, license plate readers. My goal with going to the new dispatch center is the dispatch center is going to host all of it. That's going to save each department tens of thousands of dollars a year in purchasing new equipment, maintenance, and storage. Everything's going to be virtualized at the dispatch center. We all have VPN connections to the dispatch center. And it's going to save everybody a ton of money. And you see everything's going to be hosted here and just piped out to all the affected agencies.
Is it all going to be paperless, or how is that going to work?
Majority will be paperless, yes.
Yeah.
Part of the selling point, which you folks are already aware of, is we have our command and communications truck. The county has just went out for a RFP and awarded a new countywide 911 system. This truck will be able to be parked anywhere in the United States and actually be a mobile PSAP. So any dispatcher within Calgary County will be able to log into the terminal, answer 10-digit emergency lines as well as 911 calls from that truck remotely. And the county is planning, starting August 1st, they'll be upgrading 5 PSAPs per month. That's according to state law. We can do no more than 5. This goes over just real briefly of what I plan on doing with the data infrastructure. We're going to have put everything in VMware. There's going to be 3 physical servers, and really the biggest thing to take home here is I can lose 2 physical servers, and that dispatch center will still remain up and running 24/7. So nobody will ever see a difference. It will never go down. I won't bore you with this real quick here, but these are some of the things that we already have up and running, and this is going to benefit everybody. Help desks. Long story short, what we use it right here now for is anything that's wrong, a vehicle, a fire truck, a service truck. The person will fill out a work order. It's going to be routed to the appropriate personnel, whether it's the service mechanic, police, or fire, and they're aware of it. We have a log trail. We can keep track of the amount of money we spend on each truck. But that will be deployed to every single agency that's part of our dispatch center. Orange Village right now is the only one that's utilizing this, but we have live streaming video from the police car. Dispatch will be able to double-click on any one of our cars and anybody else within the COG and be able to watch a traffic stop, alarm drop, a burglary live for officer safety. That we will have access to everybody's cameras, Hunting Valley, Gates Mills. Anybody that has camera systems around their buildings, their parks, will be able to monitor it to be live. This is Ahuja. We have live links with the Ahuja Medical Center. And a lot of people are going to ask, who cares about Ahuja? Well, this next slide is why we care about, at least in Orange Village and Beechwood. They have 4 pan, tilt, zoom cameras on the exterior of their building. Everybody knows what 271 is a nightmare with the jurisdictional boundaries. So we're able to zoom in, dispatches, and tell you exactly where that accident is, whether it's in Orange, Warrensville, Beechwood, or Pepper Pike. Very high-powered system, high-powered cameras, and it benefits us on a daily basis. Mobile encryption with the EMS right now and the LEED standards for the state of Ohio, all of our mobile data terminals traffic has to be encrypted. Again, it's already in place. It's going to benefit everybody else. Antiviruses, everybody's spending thousands of dollars a year for antivirus. We can offer each client for $5 per computer to anybody in the COG. And that's a huge savings for everybody. We'll also be able to host all of their email, which you're looking at $5,000 to $10,000 per agency per year. Identification cards, again, it's a minor amount of money, but everybody charges for it. We can offer it free now. All right, capital costs, and that's pretty much what everybody here wants to know what we're going to do. The mayors have sat down and we're kicking around and approved the idea of a 75% usage and 25% fixed, because we have so many variations in departments and how busy they are. You know, Sugar Falls Township runs roughly 100 calls a year, where Orange Village is higher, obviously in the tens of thousands of calls. So we came up with 25% of the allocated capital costs are going to be split equally. That's going to be the top number here. Everybody's going to pay the $20,800, and the 75% is going to be based on your usage. We took a 5-year average for each agency from 2008 until 2012 and came up with those average numbers. So Orange Village's cost for the capital improvement is going to be $103,745.85. And you can see some of the smaller agencies like Sugar Falls Township, you know, their activity for the entire year is $900. So they're a lot lower. 2013 operating, Gates Mills has opted to shut down their dispatch center, and they're going to come live with us on August 5th.
Let me just ask you a quick question. Sir. When you go back to the last slide, not that, when you do those calculations, that comes from the records of the dispatch to date in the last 5 years?
Yes, sir.
So then when they came in, they were all sorted by geographical area and not
correct.
By department called?
Well, it was by department. So if Orange Village had 10,000 calls over the last 5 years, their average was 10,000. That's how it was billed.
I guess what I'm asking is, would it ever be likely that Orange Village would be called to service Woodmere?
It would still be a Woodmere call, though.
That's what I'm asking.
Correct.
Okay.
So bringing Gates Mills on, you're going to see what my closing slide will show you the cost differences on them. We're saving money with Gates Mills. But Gates Mills will be coming on August 5th. We'll have 5 years of generated revenue from them at $11,000 per month. So it's, you know, just under, or a little bit more than $50,000 we'll be generating from Gates Mills. They felt that the opportunity is here. Instead of waiting until January 1st, they want to start earlier, get everybody accustomed to their territory. entities.
I'm sorry, Nick, to interrupt you. Was there any reason why we wouldn't review this like from year to year and adjust those figures? I mean, I don't know if everybody's built out. We pretty much are. I don't know.
Everybody, you're going to laugh, but maybe a couple hundred calls was the only difference over that five-year average versus going the current year. There was nothing significant.
I'm just wondering about going forward, would we have a sliding average or maybe every couple of years re-change the average?
Right, well, for the capital cost, that's just for the building.
Yeah.
For the operating cost, that's billed every year for live data.
Oh, okay, all right, that'll be okay.
Yes, sir.
Earlier, much earlier, you said you had a chart showing the savings, except off of what, relative to?
All of the savings, like for the utilities or?
You had the whole category of all the savings.
Right.
What are you measuring that savings from?
From our current budget.
The current numbers? Okay, it would be useful to see that, because they were all, I mean, back where.
So the only number that is not, in my, you know, again, in my opinion, that's accurate is this $40,000. This is what the architect, if we were going to build a freestanding building, whether it was in Moreland Hills, Orange, or Sugar Falls, that's what he recommended we put aside for building improvements. And we need a new roof or need new asphalt.
And that is for the whole COG, the annual salary?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's, that was the next.
The 37, the utilities are what we're paying right now down at Sugar Falls. Same thing with the HVAC and the generator.
That's fine. I just, like I said.
Gotcha. All right, so 2014 operating with Gates Mills, our costs go down roughly $10,000 because, again, they're a big user. They're 6,500 calls a year, believe it or not. But, you know, when you sit down and think about it, you know, they've got Mayfield Road. I was kind of surprised at looking at their numbers as well, but they're going to be one of the top three users of the system.
Mm-hmm.
They also do a lot of work for their residents. You know, they'll do house checks. If there are packages left at the doors, they actually go back and bring everything inside, so that's a generated call.
Is there any likelihood anybody else will join us in this before
Yes.
the 10-year period is
over?
The
county right now is trying to consolidate PSAPs in the county.
Right.
Right now we have 45, they're trying to get down to 5, which even they admit that it's never going to happen. They are out right now campaigning customers to go to one of their approved dispatch centers, and I've already received 3 phone calls from neighboring departments, Highland Hills, North Randall, Pepper Pike is a possible one, that want no part of the county-approved dispatch center, and they want to come with us.
So all these numbers will change, or?
All these numbers will change. The operating will change. The downfall with it is taking on one department, Gates Mills, as we're trying to build out this dispatch center, is overwhelming. So we're going to wait till this dispatch center is up and running at the end of the year, then we'll take on more new clients.
And would this be another way of merging? You know, we've been talking about merging different communities. Would this be a different aspect of merging?
It'd be a different aspect. It'd be more
it
consolidation
would be merging,
of dispatch centers,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
Shared services.
Lieutenant, since we brought up the county's goal to consolidate
mm-hmm.
all the dispatch units in all of Cuyahoga County into 5 or 4 or whatever.
5.
Will we have the capacity to be approved as one of those hubs?
Initially, I've been told no, but as they see that they have put at least 2 of these out, their backing of who they're going to approve, they are actually losing customers. The one that's in Maple Heights, Bedford, and Bedford Heights was supposed to have Garfield Heights, Oakwood, and Glen Willow. Those departments have already backed out. So as they're losing customers, we're actually gaining customers. So they told me that in a year's time, if we're continuing to grow, they would back us with some type of financial money. Is there any guarantee with it? No.
Why aren't they on board right now? Is our equipment somehow incompatible with theirs?
No, they're looking at the bigger. They consider us a little small consolidated dispatch center. Our comeback is we've been doing this for 52 years down at Sugar Falls. We're already consolidated. We're already regional. We've been doing this for many, many, many years, and we've already had those hurdles. 52 years.
Wow.
52 years. Chief Vetter from Chagrin Falls and I met with the Bedford Group because they tried to get us to come over, and I wanted to stay out of this mix due to the fact of my role here. And these are just some of the comments from Chief Vetter. Was the veiled threats for future funding is tied to consolidation. They do not want to give us a one-for-one voting right like we have right now. They feel that since they are a larger agency and they have more calls, they should get more votes than Orange Village, Chagrin Falls, because we're such a small volume. That was a deal breaker for us, as well as they want to have these county-run dispatch centers as an emergency call center. They only want to answer 10-digit emergencies. They only want to answer 911 calls. So,
really?
Mrs. Kluter, if you call and say, hey, my grandson's coming in, can you send one of the guys over to install a car seat? They don't want to answer those calls. They want to farm that out to each individual agency's administrative lines. Again, being how small we are and the community involvement we have, that's a deal breaker for us because we do so much for the residents. And nonstop, it was the big city versus the small villages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a viable option in our eyes.
Right.
Tim, can you go back to the plan, put the plan drawing back up
sure.
again, Mr. Wood? I have a question. How is this area secured? Obviously, there's other things in this building. I can't imagine that you want to have incidental traffic coming into this dispatch space that could
Thanks.
Create some problems.
There are going to be two entrances. One's here, one's going to be here. It's going to be controlled by proximity cards. So you need to have a card or a key fob to gain access into it. But there are no other offices in this basement other than a dispatch center and the conference room.
But every time anyone has to use the bathroom, they have to go outside?
Nope. We're going to convert this. These areas here are going to be a men's and women's locker room,
okay.
self-sustained within the suite.
All right, so you're adding restrooms inside.
There's actually a current restroom right here with the door that was here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to close that off, use all the existing plumbing, run it right down the wall,
okay.
and make a men's and females locker room.
Good point. Okay, thank you.
All right, bear with me here. Okay, so right now what we're paying is $129,000 to Chagrin Falls Dispatch as it stands right now. Once we bring the Village of Gates Mills on board, you already see the savings.
Yeah.
Have almost $11,000 savings. With the role of part-time administrator, we're also getting another discount of $30,000. I have designed, I will be building, installing, and maintaining the IT infrastructure, and that's going to be roughly another $15,000 to $20,000 credit for Orange Village, which is going to bring us down to $60,000 a year that we're going to be paying. So we're going to have a yearly savings of $68,000.
You reverse that. I mean, it's a savings of...
Sorry, 61,000. Our yearly operating will be 68 from 118.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good.
I have another question. As we bring in more and more people years down the line and they're charged appropriate amounts, are we going to share that savings amongst all the customers that are joining
there will
in?
Be, it's everything's
or are
gonna
we
be...
going to save money for upgrades and improvements?
Right now, every year, each agency is going to pay $2,500 towards capital improvements. I feel that's going to be sufficient for the hardware.
Okay, so you're keeping it separate.
For IT infrastructure, you're looking at 5 to 6 years every time for a hardware refresh, and we're going to have the money that we'll be able to accomplish that. When you bring on more users, it depends on the size of the agency. If we bring on a Pepper Pike, there's no way we can do it, or let's use the city of Solon, there's no way we can do it with two dispatchers. So we'd probably have to go from two dispatchers around the clock to four.
Mm-hmm.
So there's gonna be a cost involved with Solon. If we take on a Highland Hills, where we don't have to add any more dispatchers, it's gonna be a cost savings for everybody.
Right.
So it just depends on each individual agency and their size and their call volume.
But let's say you get so many and you have eight dispatchers, but you have an influx of fees,
mm-hmm.
Is it shared amongst?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
it's all, and it's all based on call volume. So if Orange Village has 20,000 calls a year and
mm-hmm.
Moreland Hills has 10, we're paying a little bit more of the piece of the pie because
mm-hmm.
we're busier.
Right. That makes great
yeah.
sense.
All capital improvements, what we're trying to get passed, and I can't guarantee I'm going to get it passed, is equal share because my opinion is whether you have one call or 100,000 calls
right.
a year, you still need that computer.
That ship sailed.
What?
Oh, then there's not a chance it's
going
to pass.
No, going forward
going
with
no.
equipment. I don't think that's been...
that's my goal.
Yeah. I've been at all the mayor's meetings, and that ain't going to pass. Is this the end of your presentation?
Yes.
I'd like to publicly acknowledge Nick DeSico's efforts on behalf of not only Orange Village, but on behalf of all the communities of the Chagrin Valley Regional Dispatch Cog. His efforts and the results from his attention to this operation is going to benefit every community for years to come. Orange Village owes him a debt of gratitude, but he has moved heaven and earth to make this thing happen, and we are so close to realizing it, and I just cannot tell you enough that this is all due to the efforts, and I don't, the whole thing was falling apart before Nick got involved and pulled this together, and I think he could not be praised high enough, in my opinion, for all that he has done and has accomplished on behalf of all of our residents in the valley, and Orange Village will benefit the most.
Thank you.
This is on the side of the hospital, right?
Yes, it's the opposite side of the ER.
Yeah, okay. I just want to be sure.
And he does this while doing his full-time job and responsibilities for Orange Village on top of it.
That's the Orange Village budget, I mean, our shared cost on
correct.
The current slide. And I understand that the dispatch administrator is an Orange Village personnel.
Correct.
Which you.
Yep.
And the IT management credit, I guess the question is, if you're going to be devoting X hours a week, month to that,
mm-hmm.
how does it impact the village's police effort? Because obviously you're wearing two hats.
Yep.
And the management credit, are there any costs associated with that? Are we going to have to buy any additional software or hardware, or is that personnel cost directly to you?
That money's coming back to Orange Village.
Right.
My salary is going to remain the same.
Right.
So it's not like I'm getting the extra 30.
You're wearing two hats there.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's going to be roughly 2 to 2.5 days a week that I'll spend down there.
And that makes sense.
Sure.
So the question is, to the chief, is this going to affect the operations if Nick is gone 50% of the time? So you feel comfortable that it's not going to impact the village. Okay. That's what I want to hear.
As far as much as we've talked about it, that's all I can tell you right now is that we will make it happen.
Great.
Any other questions?
Anybody
good.
Else?
Good job.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So then moving on the agenda, we need a motion to approve the minutes of March 13th regular council meeting.
Before we do that,
mm-hmm.
We have a little problem. We have a vacancy with the council president pro tem, and I would like to amend the agenda and see whose names can be put in the hat. And I'm thinking, because some discussion was maybe we should wait till we appoint the next council person. But God forbid anything should happen to the council president in the interim, we wouldn't have anybody to run the meeting. So I'm thinking that perhaps we should look at it tonight, but I would have to amend the agenda. Do we need 5 votes to amend the agenda, Steve, or is it a simple majority?
Simple majority.
That's what I thought. So I don't know.
I'll second the motion to amend the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your motion and a second. Comments regarding this issue?
Well, the only thing I would say is there will be a seventh person, and it might be appropriate to wait until we have the seventh person before we choose a pro tem, only because I don't know that there's any great urgency associated with the selection of the pro tem, and it might make some sense to let that seventh person be involved in that process. The other question I don't have an answer to as we sit here is, since there would be 6 of us voting, there's the possibility that we would split 3-3, and I don't know how that is resolved. Maybe somebody could advise me on that, and that may be an unnecessary complication if we wait until we have 7 people to make the choice.
You want to answer to the first?
Yes.
Yeah. If there's a 3-3 tie, you either take another ballot or you move on, because because unlike the selection of a successor council member where the mayor would
What do you mean by move on?
Break the tie after 45 days.
Is that a coin toss when you said move on? Or?
Yeah.
No, there's no resolution mechanism for that. It requires a majority vote to obtain a president of council. If everyone agreed to a coin toss, you could agree to that. That would be a possible resolution of that.
Gosh. Steve, don't they have that? If we had a count, I know it's on the opposite side of the fence, but if you had two people running for council and it was a dead tie, it's tossed. There's
that's,
a coin toss.
That's Title 35 of the Ohio Revised Code that provides for that.
Okay. Yeah. So I came up with that, actually. I just wanted to see, could we do
you
that?
You could agree to that. I mean, that would be a dispute resolution mechanism.
And the other thing, talking about, appointing somebody, it's the process of appointing somebody. Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. No, I'm sorry. I got carried away. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Just commenting that as I came on, the council had, I believe, the president pro tem was selected after the first of the year.
Yes.
They both were. It was at the organizational meeting. They must be chosen.
And there was no one sitting in this chair at that time.
No.
There was.
Mr. Brown voted.
Mr. Brown came in.
He did.
He came
vote.
In and then resigned after that.
After
meeting.
He voted.
Is there any reason not to do it today? Besides the potential for a tie?
The only thing I was thinking of, and the reason I didn't put it on the agenda tonight, was I heard first from the law director that we had plenty of time to elect a pro tem, whereas with other positions, we're bound by charter to fill them sooner. Like the council position and sometimes council president and things like that. But also, I thought it would be nice, I think it's nice to have all the say in that we can with the new person here. I wonder if it did happen in the next meeting or two that I was absent and there wasn't a pro tem, how would it be handled?
Council could select someone to act in that capacity.
There's a resolution possible. There's a resolution possible that evening to just have somebody fill in. So I don't think it's an emergency to elect somebody tonight. And my personal feeling is to wait until the seventh person is on board.
But it could be like a month and a half or so, 2 months till we have a seventh person, right?
We have to appoint somebody within 45 days, I'm hoping, before. It would be great if we could do it before the council meeting in May.
Well, don't we have to advertise and have 30 days of people to decide whether they apply?
We do not have to give them 30 days to reply. We can set that time to whatever we want. So if we could interview on the 1st of May, we will have a new council person sitting here on the 8th.
Question for the law director. We recently went through the appointment process, and we had some people in mind. As Judd is the new person aboard, does he have to be part of that?
Topic, right?
Does he have to be part of the process? Because could we select from the resumes we've already received and start?
Well, there's no set procedure in the charter, and it's up to council to decide what the process you follow is to do a replacement.
Well, it's not quite that simple, because now there's somebody who isn't here who actually had input into setting some of the criteria in the last meeting. So you have one person who shouldn't have a voice and another who should, and I just don't think that makes – and I personally don't think we should go away from – the way we have always done it, just because they're close together. I don't.
I agree.
I don't disagree with that. Disagree with you on in terms of selecting another councilman, but in terms of the present pro tem, I just say we get it done today. I just don't see a reason not to.
Well, we have a motion and a second.
Can we take a vote?
Let's take a vote if we want to vote for this today.
Yeah.
Or are we voting for?
It's a motion to amend the agenda to elect a council president pro tem.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mary, will you call the roll?
Braverman?
No.
Cluter?
Yes.
D-
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
No.
Perry?
No. So it's a tie. What do we do?
Doesn't pass.
Then we don't, okay, then we'll talk about it next month.
Can we flip a coin?
Selection process, if you wanted, if we went back to the original set of resumes that were submitted, I think it would be appropriate to go back to those folks and ask them if they're still interested, and not just assume that they are.
I think we should do the same thing. I mean, personally, I think we should do the same thing, make it public, you know, the position's open and.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this later in the agenda, but we can talk about this now. There's several ways I think that we could do this. One is pick our top four or five candidates from our interviews and have those people come back. I was kind of favoring that because it was so recent ago, and we had a couple, quite a few people right at the top level, and we could spend more time interviewing them, say, taking a half hour to interview each person rather than 15 or 20 minutes. Or we can just re-interview all those candidates. So let's say plan A is just pick the top five. Plan B would be to re-interview all those same candidates without advertising for the position. And plan C would be to re-advertise. We'd have to get a letter out very quickly, have responses back very quickly. We'd give them like a week and a half turnaround for that. And then schedule interviews. Either way, schedule interviews for the first. So, what are people's ideas?
I feel real strongly that plan C is the only thing that's fair. Residents may thought about applying and didn't, were on the fence, had personal conflicts. Why would we want to exclude them? And some of the people who applied the last time, maybe they really don't want, after the experience, want to associate with us.
Why would we want to have it open?
Yes,
I think there
Mr.
is
Klein?
A plan D that's sort of a marriage of C, and that is to advertise, but also to go back to those who submitted originally and ask them to just send a letter of interest if they are interested in the position, still interested in a position.
You're just suggesting that they wouldn't have to redo their resume.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right. Save that, at least save that.
Yes, and we have
updated
them already.
From last month.
Yes. Okay. All right, so C and D I think are actually good ideas. So can we combine those?
Yes.
Is that good?
I think that's.
All right, and which is your preference, Mr. Klein?
Well, I think that, you know, combining.
So C? D?
Well,
CD?
CD.
All you're saying is that those who applied last time
yeah.
don't have to send a resume.
They don't have to send a resume, just a letter of that they're interested.
Right. Okay, great. Mrs. Kluter?
Yes.
Okay.
That's perfect
Mr.
for me.
Mr. Duber?
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you have any other?
C.
Better ideas?
C with D.
C and a half.
C and a half. C point five. Mr. Braverman?
No, I think C is the right one, and if you want to do something like D to give them a give those folks who are still interested, who have already submitted a resume, relatively recent resume, last month, yeah,
okay,
I think that's fine.
Last time we sent out a letter to every person?
Postcard.
A postcard?
It took some time. I'm not sure if you could fit it in the time slot.
And what's our latest time that we could hire somebody on? Well, we could just use the same content.
And it did them.
So you had to get them printed?
Yes. And stamped. And sent out.
Lord Director,
so
could we do it by email?
What is
could
it?
We? No.
Do
could we invite these people who applied by email or no?
People could be invited by email, yes.
Well, I'm sure we've got emails on all those.
It's just 12 people, not the other 1,000.
Yeah.
What's that?
You know,
the group?
So we have until like the 24th or 25th of May at our latest date. Okay, so how do people feel about coming in on the 15th for interviews? It's an additional Wednesday. 15th of May.
What time would we oh God, we went through this before.
We would probably, I mean, it sounds like we're going to get a lot of applicants, so plan on being here very early and staying very late.
What are we looking at, the 8th?
The 15th. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Does it sound good?
The 8th or the, what?
The 15th for interviews as an extra, we'll have a special meeting that night.
I assume that we will that night.
Right.
So actually, we will be, we'll be a month behind.
There has to be a special meeting.
Excuse me. So actually, if you wanted to have somebody chosen by the new person for the council president pro temp,
well, then when you, we would swear them in the day that, of the interview?
Yeah.
No, we'll swear them in.
Shortly thereafter.
At the next meeting, but we would make a motion to appoint that person on that day.
I would, I could.
Whichever one we choose.
If that's what they're aiming at.
Does the date fit with everybody?
Would it have to be, since we were looking at day, is, this would be a special meeting?
If the majority of you are going to meet, yes.
Okay, it's not going to be a work session, it'd be just a special?
No.
You're going to want to go into executive session, right?
Right.
To have the interviews?
Yes.
So it's a council meeting?
Okay, so it is a meeting, that's fine.
6 o'clock?
Yeah, but then it has to be on the agenda, because what happened last time?
Depending on people, we.
If you want to do the appointment that night, and if you also want to select council president pro temp that night, if you make the appointment.
I'm not sure about doing the appointment that night.
Everybody can adjust their schedules.
In the sense that if I'm the first interviewee, and I'm done with my interview, I'm going home.
Went to bed.
Yeah. Catch me tomorrow, I mean.
You could still have the vote if you want.
We could do the appointment, but you can't really swear in anybody and so forth.
I think we need to make the appointment because we have to fit it before the next, before the June council meeting.
At the.
Okay.
Make the work session a special session.
Exactly. So we are going to plan on the 15th, let's formulate that postcard and get it out as soon as possible.
Interviews would be the 15th.
The 15th. If you need like a time range, tell people between 5 and.
We told them last time.
10 p.m.
We would let them know what time.
Okay, great, great. All right, and we will work on that.
Is there a deadline for submission of new resumes, what will happen?
So I'll work with Mary on when we can get that postcard out, and that's what, we'll set the date, like, we'll give them as long as possible, but we need probably at least 4 or 5 working days to figure out the schedule and contacting people and stuff, so.
The deadline to figure it out would be 10.
If we can get it all together, we can.
If we start closer to 6 o'clock on the 15th?
We can try, but if we have, you know, 20 people.
I can't, 6 o'clock, I was just going to.
6 o'clock is your earliest?
6 o'clock I can make, 5, I definitely can't. I got conference calls Wednesdays that run from, that's why I had to be fine.
We'll do the best we can.
What do you mean, you can't be there by 6?
I can be there by 6, I can have a conference call that ends 5:30. 6 o'clock I can make it.
6 is fine.
Okay, so if we say the 10th, Mary, does that give you enough time? No, probably not.
I can let you know in the morning.
I mean, Anna might be able to turn around really quickly, so you can have it on the 1st and vote on it on the 8th.
No.
We're going to do the interviews on the 15th.
Okay.
Okay, so everybody's cleared their calendar.
We can get the postcards out soon enough, so the people have time to get the resumes into you by 8.
But how many days do you want to say letters of intent and resumes need to be in by the 8th? That'll give you 4 days. Okay.
And then just to get those letters out as fast as possible.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't get out till next week, that still gives everybody 3 weeks.
That's okay. There'll be enough time.
We just called and gave everybody a time.
That's fine.
And only one person changed their time.
Okay, I'd like to move on to approve, I need a motion to approve the minutes of March 13th regular meeting. Thank you, Mr. Klein, a second? I'll second it. Any questions or comments about the minutes? Okay, Mary, please call the roll.
Braverman.
Yes.
Cluder.
Yes.
Duber.
Yes.
Bonk.
Yes.
Klein.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the minutes of April 3rd work session. Do I have a motion, please?
Move.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluter, second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Any questions, comments? Mary?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the treasurer's report of February 2013. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Yeah, second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Second, Mr. Braverman, thank you. Mr. Bloom, would you like to give a quick rundown for us since we're missing Mr. Parks?
Does everybody have a copy of the treasurer's report handy?
Yes.
Remember, this is for the month of February, even though it's already April here, so we're not even dealing with March yet. It was a very uneventful month. Probably the main thing to point out is the very top line, the kind of operating part of the general fund outside the reserve. We began the year in January with about $471,000 in that line, and we were just about at that same amount at the end of February, so that's where we want to be. And in general, if you go to the page one of the revenue report, one of the detail pages, about four pages into your handout, just to point out the totals, the target percentage where you want to be, if everything was equal month to month, which it isn't, but gives you an idea, we'd want to be at about 17% of collection at this point. And we're slightly above that. If you go to the bottom right corner, general fund total, percent collected, it shows 20. It's a little misleading. We're not quite that high, but we are above budget right now in the revenue side by a few dollars. And if then you go to the expense report, page 9, the very top line is the general fund total on that page. And again, there's a few adjustments you need to make, kind of, I won't ask you to make them, but they are timing issues, and if you factor them out, the expense side also is slightly below budget. So the revenues in the general fund right now are slightly above budget, and the expenses are just slightly below. So after 2 months, we're in very good shape.
Thank you.
Are there any questions on anything? No?
The only thing I wanted to just ask about just briefly is the infrastructure levy, and this is probably something maybe more for the mayor than you, but
okay.
we're ahead on that, aren't we? I mean, haven't we saved money over the course of this infrastructure levy fund?
We've done more work than we hoped, and we've spent less than we...
Can I remind you, speak into your microphone, please?
We have spent, most of our projects have come in under budget, and we've been able to accomplish more work than we had anticipated, but we're not spending it to spend it. We're doing it as the projects are required and as we can absorb them. And with the elimination of estate taxes, this is really our only source for these big ticket items, and so I would say it's good to have money there.
That was kind of my question. We're going to keep that in that money's going to stay in that fund until we actually need to use it for infrastructure purposes.
Council will be passing any projects that come out of there.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Bloom.
I just want to say, but there is a schedule of projects that we have scheduled out for 5-7 years.
Great. Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the tax administrator's report of March 31st, 2013. Do I have a motion?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluter. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. And since Mark Parks isn't here, I'm going to see if I can give you a rundown. You all have it at your seat. I do hear somewhere, too. I don't see it. Thank you. As you can see, I always go to the bottom line first. We are over budget by almost $50,000, and that I noticed that we didn't have last year. As a matter of fact, we ran at a negative variance for, I think, the whole year last year in that, in the bottom line. Are there any questions, though, about the detail of this report for anybody? We're sneaking ahead of budget very nicely, which is good. All right, Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Okay, next, discussion of bills to be paid in the amount of $131,825.75 and additional expenses of $145,522.30. This should be at our seats. Do you all have it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any, can I have a motion to?
No, take a motion if you have a question. But I do want to point out, if I could, that if you look at the allocation of that dollar amount, it was a light month out of the general fund, only 49,000, which is lower than ever. The high expenses are attributable to the infrastructure project up going on in Orangewood, and 103,000 of a payment towards the service building. So our operational side of the bills are very, very trim this month.
Any other questions or comments about them? The bills? Okay, we'll move on. Next, we have audience comments relating to agenda items. Is anybody here to speak tonight about anything on our agenda? Thank you. Next, we have ordinance number 2013-4. I need a motion to adopt our conclusions of fact.
Submit.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Second?
Second.
Mr. Duber, thank you very much. Mary, can you call the roll about the conclusions of fact, please?
Braverman?
I'm sorry, I didn't wait here. What is it?
Conclusions of fact.
Oh, the conclusions of fact. Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Okay, ordinance number 2013-4, an ordinance determining restaurants to be a similar, harmonious, and compatible U7 district use and granting a special use permit to Great Expectations, LLC, for the property located at 27100 Chagrin Boulevard. This is on for third reading tonight. I'll remind you that planning and zoning has passed this unanimously at their March 5th meeting. A public hearing was held tonight and no one spoke for or against this. So do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein.
Second.
A second. Thank you, Mr. Duber. Next, any questions, comments?
Well, I would just, have there been any developments that the council should be aware of? I mean,
any other questions or comments? Nope. Then, Mary, will you please call the roll?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have ordinance number 2013-5 as amended, an ordinance granting a rear yard variance to KSI management for property located at 210 East Orange Hill Circle. This is on for second reading tonight. It did pass planning and zoning unanimously at their April 2nd meeting, and we have a public hearing scheduled next month in May, May 8th.
If you will, it'll be advertised.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Next is ordinance number 2013-6, an ordinance approving the application of Joseph A. Dubiak and Kristen P. Dubiak for the placement of land in an agricultural district. Although this is on for first reading tonight, we did hold the public hearing. I need a motion to suspend the rules. Thank you, Mr.
Second.
Duber. Thank you, Mr. Bonk, for a second. And Mary, can you call the roll?
Braverman?
Yes.
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Now that the rules are suspended, can I have a motion to adopt ordinance number 2013-6, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. And questions, comments? We talked about this a little bit last week.
The only question I had, and this is, I don't know if it's directed at the law director for a response, but I see that, I looked at the documents we looked at last week, and I look at the documents in front of me here. Isn't there supposed to be some information about the productivity of the land over a certain period of time as opposed to just the size of the parcels?
Yeah, and that's presented to, I believe it's presented to the county.
But we don't have it.
You don't have it.
It's a very low barrier. I think it's $2,500.
Yeah,
it used
nothing.
To be. That and you really can't, it's not a public record because it's a tax issue. I was on the receiving side years ago, piece of property.
I did want to make clear,
I mean,
there was a point made last time that you have 30 days to hold the public hearing from receipt of this.
Yeah.
And then from the public hearing date, you do have 30 days, but if you suspend the rules and pass it tonight,
it's not about timing so much, but I...
It's a very low threshold. That's the issue.
Yeah. Well, I just think that we don't have... I don't know how relevant it is, and I don't know whether it could come back to besiege us in any way in the future, but, you know, if you don't have all the information, it's hard to pass on something, even though it's a de minimis situation in general. I think... You know, I guess it depends on...
We do have a timeline, and because the county has already, I mean, this is just basically a housekeeping procedure, as far as I can figure from this.
Well, I know we've done it before, but I just don't know, you know, I don't know to what extent we want to require information to be presented. You know, I'm always thinking about the next time when somebody doesn't present information and says, gee, last time you didn't ask, so next time, you know, we don't have to produce. That's the problem with letting some of these details slide. I mean, because it is such a small, low barrier, I would have thought it would have been very easy to provide the information.
It's not like
large accounting process that has to be done. It could be... a statement, as far as I know.
The requirement.
And if it was produced at county, it would only be a copy of what it was already done. We don't get it, though.
The standard is it's a minimum. Whether you exceed it allows you, you know, you could be a giant agribusiness. In Colorado, you could be in the marijuana business and have millions of dollars per acre, you know, as opposed to in Ohio where you could be, you know, a organic chicken farmer.
I understand that. I'm just saying, for a low barrier, nobody seems to be going over it. They seem to be avoiding it. Imagine if the barrier was higher. So how many votes do we need to pass this ordinance?
Four.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Does anybody else?
Well, to Mr. Braverman's point, is there somewhere that the record of that information can somehow be included by reference so that it can't, there's a paper trail somewhere to find out about it?
In order for you to get this from the county auditor, is page 2 of 4 is submitted to them, to the county auditor, and they do the inspection of the property. The reason you're involved with this is this does have some impact on any assessment that would go on property, something like that. They would be exempt from that activity. And so you'd be making a determination whether there's a planning consideration in the next 5 years.
Who knows?
But if you were not going to support it, I would recommend that you find, you know, state reasons for that, because you've granted it twice in the past. And I'd find some facts that were different from the prior granting.
That's a good point.
anybody, I think we can call the roll and see how this works out.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next is ordinance number 2013-7, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into agreement with the Ohio Department of Transportation and take any other action necessary to participate in the bulk purchasing of road salt for the 2013-2014 winter season and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading, and I'm going to ask for a suspension of the rules, a motion to suspend the rules, please.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Call the roll, please, Mary.
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, a motion to adopt ordinance. I need a motion to adopt ordinance number 2013-7, please.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. So any discussion about this?
I just wanted to know what the supply was. We had a light, we had a mild winter.
We have about 400 ton on hand. We only bought 820 last year because we had an abundance from the year before.
Right.
This year we have to do an 80 to 120%, so we're doing 2,000. So we'll have to buy a minimum of 1,600 and can only buy as much as 2,400. But our typical usage in a year is about in that ballpark. At least now, if we have a mild winter again, by next winter we'll have a place to keep it.
But Mayor, weren't you using something else in addition to the salt to help with the consumption?
Well, this is the tonnage after whatever else we use.
Oh, okay.
For our sensible salting. Last year the cost was $46 a ton. This year, because of the overabundance, it was closer to 34, and the service director expects it to be in the 30, you know, something price range again.
Does it ever make any sense to buy more than you need?
Well, not more than you can store.
Well, I mean, once we have our facility.
Do we know what the timing is for the storage facility? What will be ready?
It'll be done before the snow falls again later. Not, it might snow again this month, but it'll be before next winter.
God forbid.
I was going to give a status update in my mayor's report.
Okay. Great. Any other questions? Mary?
Braverman?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next is ordinance 2003-8, and you might want to mark your agendas if you care to. An ordinance authorizing the Woodbrand Realty Company to provide sanitary sewer service to property owned by Joel Dam Properties, LLC, located at 3855 Brainerd Road, requiring that the property owner maintain all sewer facilities located upon its property and requiring the payment of all costs and expenses incurred by the village in inspecting and permitting the proposed sewer improvement. This is on for first reading, and it's gone to planning and zoning. And I think we have other times to talk about this during a work session. So next, I'm going to move on to committee reports by council members, I'll start over here tonight. Mr. Duber.
I just had a quick question. I just noticed that the do not knock thing isn't on the agenda today.
Yes, the law director, it is not on the agenda. Actually,
I asked for it to be on, and it got lost.
Okay,
and
that's
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So we
were going to table it because the new information has come up that the law director made me aware of.
Well, hang on. The chief and I are going to have a communication with the interested parties just to see, to gather information regarding the sticking points and the risk of litigation.
So is this just on hold for a while? That's fine.
Yeah, so we're trying to just garner more information. And we'll see it again. Any other comments?
Well, this is reports.
Reports. Excuse me?
No report for today.
Great. Mr. Bonk?
No report.
Mr. Braverman?
Well, the only thing I wanted to mention, things I guess that I wanted to mention is the newsletter should have been in your mail in the past couple of days, and I thought that the Anna and others did a great job putting a lot of information into it.
You're good editing.
Yeah, but that part, that too, but I thought we got a lot of information into it, and particularly the part about shredding, I thought, you know, is something that we should highlight. I mean, that's, I think that's very good, and I hope people will take advantage of that. And then the other is just that, you know, with the cessation of winter, the garden will be starting up, and if you don't have your plot yet, there may still be some space in the garden. I'm not sure. But check with your, with the administration. I'm sure they'll be able to get you a spot. Those are the only two items for report.
Do a lot of people take advantage of the shredding?
Sorry?
Do a lot of people take advantage of the shredding?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you do it?
Huh?
Didn't you do it one year?